Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi guys, welcome to Adulting. This is the podcast where I try to figure out all the things that we're supposed to know and how all the different socio-political and cultural factors affect the way that we grow up as humans in today's society. And I have two guests with me this week. I have Doris and Valerie, and they are both women who have come over to the UK to seek asylum because they are part of the LGBTQ community, and where their home is, they felt like they couldn't be there because of the way that their society deemed their sexuality. And they've come over to the UK in order to find a safe place, but unfortunately, it seems that we still don't really humanise people as much as we might like to, and I just wanted to talk to them about their stories, how they're getting on, and just really what it means to grow up when you're not only feeling different because of your sexuality, but then you're also displaced from your family and your home. So I think first of all, I'm just going to have a chat with Doris.
Hello, I'm Doris from Cameroon. So I'm just here with
Anoni
and Philly and my friend Valerie. So we're here to talk about our sexuality and how we've come to realize and how we've come to, you know, like, interact and, you know, have the sense of belonging with other LGBT people in the United Kingdom, because we didn't have that privilege back home, but now, you know, it's like freedom to us because we belong in a community where LGBT is more acceptable, so I feel more comfortable in my sexuality right now.
That's so good. So what happened, can we talk about when you're at home, when you like came out, or when you understood your sexuality, what kind of happened?
Literally, it was kind of difficult because he also had it. I was in secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know exactly what was happening to me at that age because, you know, back home, I grew up from a religious background. Yeah. My parents were Christian. So it was kind of really difficult for me having to live with your parents who are both Christian. So when I realized in secondary school, I was like, you know, I had that sense of confusion going on within me because I didn't quite understand. Like, I didn't have a good understanding of my sexuality at that stage because I had this strong crush on my best friend. So yeah. I didn't know what to talk to. I couldn't talk to my parents because I was so scared they were going to reject me as well. And I couldn't talk to my teachers at school because in school, the way we were taught in school is like, we had this kind of strict, like, since I'm from a strict community, we only knew about sexuality when we were taught in biology. Right. So they didn't teach anything, we didn't go beyond that. Like, right. Male and female relationship, we didn't go beyond. So I didn't have any knowledge about female-to-female relationship or male-to-male relationship. So I only knew about male-to-female and female-to-male. So yeah. I was like, what's happening to me? And I went on for nights. I cried for nights. Mm-hmm. It was really, you know, as a child, at that age, it was traumatizing, to be quite honest. It was quite difficult for me. And when I went to high school, I went to a boarding school, and it was a Christian school as well. So I didn't really have that, you know, there wasn't that knowledge at all. Because in school too, it got worse because my pastors in school, they called them vicars. What they taught us in school was that homosexuality is a sin.
Mm.
That's the knowledge now. At that age, I'm like, homosexuality. Because they had this verse in the Bible that they always related to, like, Sodom and Gomorrah. So I was like, what do you mean by homosexuality is a sin? So I didn't even know the meaning of, like, they said those people in Sodom, whatever, they gave some kind of example. So that already, it planted something in my brain. I was like, well, what is happening? So when I went to university, there was that freedom. At least there was a bit, because I had to go to the internet, because back home we didn't have, you know, years ago, there wasn't no technology. Yeah, there was nothing. We didn't have this smartphone that we have today. We have all these WhatsApp. So we had nothing. So when I went to uni then, so I did my research. At least uni, it was different. At least I was there on my own. My parents rented me an apartment to live. So I said, okay, let me know more about my sexuality, because it's like there's something going on that I don't know.
Yeah.
So I went to the internet myself one evening. I Googled on the internet, so I had to research a lot about it. So that was when I realized that, honestly, what they think of lesbian and being a gay person is actually a criminal offense back home. That was when I got to know about it, because initially I thought it was a sin, but I didn't know it was a criminal offense as well. So I became so scared, like, okay, now I'm in the university. If I had to live openly now, I would get arrested. So it was kind of difficult. There were things I really liked to do, like physically. I like to color my hair. Mm-hmm. I love tattoo, to be honest. I'm some kind of person that do love tattoo on my body, but I couldn't do all of that because I was like so scared. I was scared because those back home, mere suspicion, if the authorities suspect that you have tattoo on your body, you have this color short hair, they know that you're a lesbian. So they look more, they base their own ideology on your physical appearance, which was something that was really, it was so frightening to me. I couldn't, that's why my hair today, because I grew up with that fear already, because I didn't want to keep short hair. I didn't want to have tattoo on my body. It was like me exposing myself to
this. You just can't be yourself.
So you can't be yourself. So it was kind of really difficult for me to live openly back home. Mm. So I had to go in my closet, which was something that I didn't want to, because it's like you're trying to hide your own identity.
Mm.
I was living a life of somebody else. It wasn't me. I was crying night, like I spent nights. My mom even took note of me, like what was happening to me, but I didn't want to talk to her because I knew. If I told her, I knew how she was going to react to it anyways. I didn't just want to say it. So she became worried. She thought maybe there was one guy, but I didn't want to even say it about my sexuality. Because she said, it was one day she said, you know what? It feels like, because my sister was abroad already. She said, you need to travel abroad to meet your sister. So you need this change of environment.
Right.
So that was like a great opportunity for me to leave Cameroon. When she said you have to travel, because she actually sponsored my studies abroad. So I was like, oh. Then I asked her, where exactly do you want to send me? Because I didn't want her to send me to any other country. I was so keen on that. When she said United Kingdom, I was like, great. Because I knew UK was a country that was LGBT, like, they were more tolerant of LGBT people. So I was like, oh, thank you. When she said that, I was like, and my girlfriend too was in the United Kingdom then.
Oh,
so
good.
That was like a huge relief for me at that point. I was so happy when she said it. And when the application went through, I was so pleased. When I came, I continued my relationship with my girlfriend when I came abroad.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that was it. Even though when I came here abroad too, it wasn't easy at all, because it's not, as we Cameroonians, we always live in a community.
Right.
We grew in a community. And when I came here, I also had to live in that Cameroon community. So it wasn't easy for me to just come over and just start living. Even though UK was a country that was more, you know, LGBT accepting, but I couldn't just come and start living openly, putting tattoo on my body, because I was living with my aunt as well.
Right.
My auntie was kind of pressed. She's difficult too. So I was like, okay, if she finds out I'm a lesbian, maybe she might throw me out. So I said, no. So it's like all those kind of things. I didn't want those Cameroonians to know that I'm also a lesbian. So I had to keep everything in hiding until I finally, you know, I came in contact. We say it loud club, they actually helped me. That was when, because it's something that, you need that courage to actually talk about your sexuality.
Yeah, Say It Loud is a charity that's funded by Help Refugees.
Absolutely.
And it's for LGBTQ+ communities specifically that have been displaced in order to help you kind of find your home in a new place kind of thing.
So we say it loud. When I started, it wasn't easy as well. I went there, I saw other women. You know, they were telling me their story. You know, when you listen to other women, especially from Africa, they were talking about their own stories. And I really got inspired. And I listened to the story of Aloysius as well. Each time he says his story, I just get inspired every day. So from there, I was so inspired by listening to their stories. I gained that confidence to actually go out. You know, that was where I gained my confidence to actually go out and start talking about my sexuality. And today, I'm so proud of myself, because what I've learned so far, because I've run many projects with Say It Loud Club. I started as a service user, and I grew up. I became a volunteer. I did volunteer with Say It Loud Club, and then I became a team leader. And today, I'm an ambassador of Say It Loud Club.
Oh, wow.
Because me sharing my own story, too, I've also helped to inspire many women as well.
Good.
It's something that now I feel so comfortable in myself. I'm not scared to go out there and talk about my sexuality anymore, which was something that I wish I could have done a long time ago. You know, when I actually realized what I'm doing right now, at times I regret why I haven't done this long time ago. Because the other day, I also did a podcast, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did a podcast at Regent's Park.
Oh, amazing. With, so a bit more fascinating.
Absolutely. So I did one, and the crowd, I asked Will today, tell me, I need to know the crowd, because it was like 1,200 people. I went like, wow. I said, okay, this is, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah,
I
was there's like, no crowd yeah. here,
so I was like, okay, great, that's okay.
It's downgraded.
So I did, so it's nice. Something that, when I keep, it's something that I really feel like, you know what, this is me. I've actually come to accept myself, you know, I was so happy, like, you know, I'm now part of a community that has been there for me. They've fought for me. They've supported me throughout my coming out stage, to be honest. So I feel like I owe them a lot. I feel like I belong to a community that's accepted me for who I am.
Yeah.
They love me for who I am, and I love them so much. So it's something that I can't just do without. And seriously, the project that we ran with Help Refugee was, I wanted to come to do my t-shirt. I thought they were going to, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, seriously. They came into our charity. They were like a blessing. You know, at times when you sit in your own corner, not everybody can recognize your charity, but Help Refugee, they actually recognize our charity.
Yeah.
It was something that was mind-blowing, to be honest with you. When I saw the work they did, the fund they raised for our charity, I went home, I cried. I told my coordinator, you know what? I don't know. I can't stop thanking Help Refugee. Each day I go to their Twitter page, I just look. I say, I don't know what I can do, but I know I need to do something, because they've done so much to us that where we are today, I want to say thank you so much to Philly. Thank you for Tom. Thank you to Tom, and thank you to Help Refugee. You make us so proud. You gave us that sense of belonging in the community. Because through that Choose Love t-shirt, many people, you know, when I went to the podcast, so many people wearing the t-shirt. I was so proud. They didn't understand. It's like, that is us. I could see myself in the t-shirt. I was like, oh, God, I was there. Absolutely. I was like, it's something like, it's a feeling that it cannot be bought with money.
No.
Absolutely. It's something that when I see, I just say, you people, you're amazing. And I will keep saying it. Thank you so much. They are the kind of people that when you say they've helped us, and I will say they've helped us. And when I go through and how they've helped other refugees as well. It's not like being a refugee. Most people always think that being a refugee, you are there. You're being left out in the community. Mm. But they came and they... It's about showing that sense, like, refugees are not just refugees. They are human beings.
Yes.
They also have some qualities. So they accepted us as refugees, and they fought our cause. So it's like,
amazing.
Thank you. It's amazing. Thank you, Philly. Thank you so much. So I'm so proud. When they say, I'm so proud. Yeah, I'm so proud to be a refugee, to be honest.
Oh, that's a lovely thing to say.
I'm so proud to be one. So thank you, Philly.
We're all going to be crying in a minute.
And I'm here today. I'm here today because of Philly, actually. You know, because of Philly, I wouldn't have been here today. So it's been a journey. It's from one stage to the other. So it's like, I'm here today because of her.
Sorry, I haven't mentioned Philly, but Philly, who works to help refugees, is sat with us now, getting a little bit teary.
I know. Yeah, I'm here today because of her. So I just want to say thank you, Philly. Thank you for this great opportunity. It's something that I don't know, it will stay forever. That's the thing. Yeah.
Stop making me
cry. We'll stay forever.
Do you have anything else and like your story that you want to share with us, or
my struggle?
Your story.
Yeah, my story. Yeah, as I said, okay, I'm from a religious family. My dad passed away. That was years ago. Yeah, 2007. So my mom struggled before she sent me abroad. That was in 2010. But she passed away in 2016.
Oh, okay. So she never found out.
She found out in 2015. But then I was already in the United Kingdom. Actually, okay. I was already in the UK. And when she found out, like a year after, she passed away. So it's like, I was so traumatized because I felt like maybe she couldn't bear it.
No,
was what I was so worried about, because I knew she was alone, so I didn't want to talk about it to her. You know, so I was like, just barely a year after. Now she's gone. What am I going to do? I'm like, hope it's not because of that. So that thought just kept, you know, each time I see it, I'm just like, maybe, but it was something beyond my control, because it wasn't me who actually told her. So I don't know the way it all happened, because I'm that kind of person. I do love, you know, my phones. When I go on my friends, I take pictures. I've been in relationships anyway. So it's like casual relationship. I've been out there. So I had so many pictures on my mobile phone with my friends, my girlfriends, that kind of thing. So I knew your phone is your personal phone.
Yeah.
So we had this party at home. My sister in the UK, the one that's mentioned, she had a party. So she organized friends. She called for like very close family friends to come over for the, it was a New Year's party actually.
Oh, nice.
So that morning, I phoned my mom that early morning to wish her happy New Year. So I told her that, oh, we're having a party this afternoon, so I'll be going to my sister's place to celebrate. She said, if I told her that I'm going to ring her later in the evening, she said, okay, because she calls me like every day. She said, okay, when the party is over, I should ring her. I said, okay, that's fine. So when I went there, the party was great. I was cooking and everything because it was like an open plan flat. So they were partying. I was busy in the kitchen. So there was a little girl, she was 3 years old. She was crying. So I just said, oh, and the parents were really having fun. You know, when you just want to like have fun and you just forget about your kid for a moment. So the child was crying. I said, okay, let me just give her my phone to listen to. Is it Peppa Pig?
Yeah. They love Peppa Pig.
That. So obsessed. I just like, okay, so that at least she can stop crying. So I just gave it to her. I never knew that would cost.
Oh, they went on your phone.
She was there. It's like, she thought the phone was the mom's phone. So I gave it to her. She was listening to it. So she handed my phone to the mom.
Oh, no.
That kind of thing. So she was, some people are so curious. That's
rude.
That's my Cameroonian community. That's how they are. They want to know things. So she was just going through. I had pictures from my girlfriend.
So your sister didn't know before?
My sister didn't even know because I didn't want to tell her either. She saw those pictures. It's like, she went and told my sister.
Oh, no.
It was my sister that actually came and called me when I went in. She was just crying. I didn't know what to say. You know, because I wanted to be the one to tell her.
Mm.
So it was heartbreaking for me to see her cry. She was crying not because she was ashamed for me being a lesbian woman. It was like, now she's not the only person who knows about it. Other people know about
it.
So her, her friends know about it. How is she going to handle this? If it was just her, at least... She was just shedding tears.
Do you think she would have been okay with your sexuality, your sister? She would have got over it?
It's something, you know, my family, I'm from a Christian family, I don't think, but with my sister, I think she would have, because now, even though we are still not in good terms, but I know she'll come over it, because she's in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, so she's so, kind of...
Yeah, she's that kind of, I know, they all have that stage. I know that stage where she'll come to a stage where she'll finally accept it.
Yeah.
I know, I just have to bear with her, and like, she's, but she will come. I know she will come over it with time.
That's good.
Yeah, but I was just looking for the right time. I was waiting for the right time, because to talk about that kind of thing. And I was worried because I knew one day she was going to ask because of my age. You know, when they find out you're not married at a certain age, they get worried. I'm 34. In Africa, in Cameroon, when you're 34, they'll go like, why are you still single? Why are you not married? You don't have kids. You know, you get it. You know, those are some of the questions that I knew one day I had to tell my mom or my sister. Because when you get to a certain age, they'll definitely ask you, why are you not married? Why are you still single?
Mm.
Why don't you have kids? So I was like, you get to that point where I will have to open up to them. But that was the way it came
out.
It's
just
so
unfair that it wasn't up to you.
Absolutely. So it was beyond my control. So I cried. But yeah, that was it. But I know my mom got to know about it, but I don't know who told her. That's the thing. I don't know who told her. I can't see my sister because I wasn't there. I wasn't there when she called her, bitch, you know, because when I rang her in the evening, as I promised, I was going to ring her. She didn't pick up my phone. I rang my mom. She didn't pick up. I thought maybe she was busy. And that was, and to be honest, that was the last time I spoke to my mom until she called. She never called me again. Mm. And I cried for months. I don't want, you know, there's some memories that you don't want to think of. I cried, to be honest. Like, I cried for months until, but thank God I was with my aunt. She was there. I didn't want her to know what was happening to me as well. But I cried for months. This was what I was trying to avoid, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted a family that if you say something, you didn't know about something, they can accept you. But I know it was hard for her because she's in Africa.
Mm.
You know, when you get to know about certain things, you don't know if... I didn't know if she was even safe back home. That's why I was trying, because I was scared. Cameroon is a country that maybe somebody could have persecuted her because of my own crime, my own thing. To them, it's a crime or it's a sin. Mm. So I was so worried. So when that happened, I was like, I don't know. To be honest, she didn't answer my phone call. I even tried to contact my sister. My sisters were not in good terms. I left her messages. So she didn't want to talk to me. Yeah, but I just stood strong. You know, at times, I cried for months, to be honest. It was really hard until I decided one evening, you know what? I need to go out there to, like, socialize with all the I need to make other friends as well. So I joined just meetup groups online, you know, lesbian meetup groups. So I joined. So because I was really down.
Yeah.
I was down, so I went there. There are some few groups I went to attend. So I said, you know what? After my mom passed away, that was when I said to myself, I've lost everything. If my mom is gone, I don't have anything left. My mom and dad are gone. So there's nothing left for me anyway. So just go there and just, you know, I was in my closet because of my mom.
Yeah.
Because I was scared she's back home. I didn't know what was going to happen to her. Now she's no more. So I don't have any family, just my sister who's here. So I don't have anything to lose anyway. Even if the whole world gets to know about it, now there is nothing to be worried about. Mm. So that's just it. So I went now. I went online. That was when I met my last girlfriend. Anna, yes, I went on a dating site. He was quite, I was just quite just to, because I just wanted to go. You know, at times I was tired to be alone. I was just tired to stay at home. I just said, you know what? But thank God she was very accepting as well. She was very supportive. She pulled me out when I was really down. She supported me in every way, emotionally. I wouldn't stop thanking her, to be honest. I met her online through a dating site, and we were together. She spoke a lot to me because her mom and dad were separated. We had a good chat together until, I told her about my journey, everything, and she was very understanding as well. She told me she'll be there for me, and she was there for me when I was down. That was she was really there for me because she was there for me. She was very supportive, loving, and caring. Even though she had two sons, but she made that time for me as well. She was one person that I would never stop talking about. Yeah. So that was, after going through all of that, I finally come. We went out together, me and my girlfriend. So I met this friend of mine in a nightclub. It's a friend. My name is, what's the girl's name? Thelma, I almost forgot. Her name is Thelma. We met in the night. I didn't know she's from Uganda, actually. When I saw her, because she's a black woman as well, I said, what are you doing here? Oh, she said, what am I doing? I said, I killed my partner. She said she also killed her partner. I said, okay. So we were chatting. We just exchanged numbers from there. Then there was a day we were just chatting on the phone. There was one day she invited me to church. She said, oh, there's this program in church. I said, which church? She said, MCC. I said, I don't know if MCC. She said, why not? She says, gay friend is an LGBT friendly church.
Yeah.
You heard of it?
Only literally Valerie was just telling me.
I was like, really? I said, I've never heard of that. She said, oh, you need to come there. They had one program in church that she was inviting me to come, my partner. She said, it would be lovely. I said, okay, I'll try. I'll talk to her. If she's really willing to come, they will come together. Then I spoke to my partner and she was really willing to go. I said, okay, let's go. Let's go to church. So we went there. It was great. When I went there, you know, when you're in a space where you see other people like you, you have that sense of belonging. There was something that I felt because I've been to other churches. I'm a Pentecostal Christian.
Yeah.
You've been to a church where a pastor will preach, but they'll preach against your sexuality. You feel like
excluded.
Absolutely. Mm. So at times I just feel like I don't want to go to church. When I went to that church, the atmosphere was different. Everything. When I stepped out, I went like, this is where I belong.
Good.
That was it. I said to myself, this is a church I've been looking for years. So I've been going to that church ever since. That was in 2017. I started going to that church in October 2017. So till today, I'm even in the choir. I sing in the choir like almost every Sunday. Yeah, seriously. It's something that, you know, when you're somewhere that you feel like, yes, this is it. Yeah. So I can't, like, that church, they helped me to, like, I've seen, now I tend to understand the Bible in a different perspective.
Yeah.
I know that God created all of us for a reason. Because the way the pastors were preaching against us, now I've come to understand the Bible in a deeper way. It's not that homosexuality is not written anywhere in the Bible. It's just what the pastor preach what they want to preach.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know God created me for a reason. Sarah, I'm so happy to be good. I don't know, that church was the best thing that happened to me.
Well, you just have as much right as anyone else to feel like absolutely. This is your world.
And they always say, there is no fear in love. There is no how. If you want to love a woman, why should you fear? Like, you shouldn't have that fear to be in love with a woman, or a man shouldn't have that fear to be in love with another man.
No.
Love is love. God said we should love one another.
Yeah.
So why should you say, why should you tell me that I shouldn't love another woman? Because so I don't know, it's not written anywhere in the Bible. So so that alone has just, you know, it helped me a lot. So it helped to build my confidence as well. Like now, okay, there's no fear in love, so I can naturally love a woman too. Good, which is good. I'm already in love with a woman, so it's not like, so at least the Bible says that as well. So I'm happy with that. Religion is not against it, which is good. The law is not against it, which is good, which was something that in Cameroon, the law is against it and the religion is against it. So yeah, it's a completely different thing. Yeah, so that in, so when I sat down from there, I was so pleased until I sat again. Another thing that drew me to say it loud club was that towards the end of that year, I was watching TV. You know of this Harvey Weinstein?
Harvey Weinstein.
His program. Oh, in America.
Yeah.
When I sat and I listened to, I was watching TV one evening. I saw women talking about how he assaulted them, what they've been through, and they kept it for years. It's like, we all have a journey.
Yeah.
People don't come out for a reason.
Yeah.
So that also inspired me. So,
so that was powerful.
It was a powerful thing. I saw Angela Jolie. I couldn't believe that those celebrities have gone through. Honestly, when they came, I was like, oh, so you have gone through this for years and you just kept quiet. So it's now that you, so something must trigger something.
It's that shame. So we need to get rid of shame.
Absolutely. So it's like that also added something in me. I'm like, okay, you know what? You need to go out there. That thing that you've been suppressing for years, that thing, you need to go out there and start talking about it. You need to
help other people.
You need to. That is it. So I sat one day. I went to UK LGIJ. I told them that, you know what? I need help. They said, okay, you go to Say It Loud Club. I said, what is Say It Loud Club? They say, they say go to King's Cross, you say it. I said, okay. I went to Say It Loud Club. I met Aloysius. I said, I need to talk to you. That was where my journey started. So I spoke to Aloysius. Honestly, I've been through counseling. Because each time I talk about my story, they have really helped me. Before, I couldn't talk about my story like this. I would cry until.
Yeah.
But through the counseling today, I can
Absolutely.
So I've been through counseling and it was great. So it's been a journey. When you listen to other people, then now me too, I tend to inspire other people through my own story as well. When I tell them, they go like, you know what? I'm so proud of you. I say, because you can't be proud of yourself if you can't go out there and talk about yourself. If I just sit there, then I say, no, I believe I'm not doing enough. If I can inspire other people by sharing my own story, I know I've done something.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. If somebody would come to me like the other day, somebody came and said, oh, you know what? I saw you on TV. I said, I didn't see that. They say, many people tell me I saw you on TV. I said, wow. I said, wow. I feel like a celebrity now. They say, no, I've read your story as well online. I said, really? I said, oh, that's good. You know, when people get inspired by such things, you feel like you're actually contributing to people's lives. So that's what I really like. Like, go out there, say something, people come back to you and say, you know, I read your story. So please, there's something I've been holding mine for years. So now I feel like sharing mine to you as well. I go like, really? That's how I started as well. You get to a point that when you listen to somebody's story, that then you gain that confidence where you feel like now you have the courage to talk about your own story.
And you're not alone.
I belong to a community. And we have a backing. Help refugees. They're behind us.
That's amazing.
Seriously.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Please, that's something that... Yeah, I know I'm not alone. I belong to a community.
No, you're amazing. You're not alone today.
Absolutely.
So I might speak to have Valerie. Can I get you guys to swap seats? Is that okay? But thank you so much, Doris. That was amazing.
Thank you.
So, Valerie, you're also from Cameroon.
Yes.
And you're also a lesbian.
Yes.
But with you, like, I feel like you also had a really difficult time. I mean, could you talk us a little bit more about what happened at home and how...
Yeah, everything started when I was 17 in college. So in the college, I went out with friends and everything. So we went, we finished like really late. We were really drunk. We went home and me and my friend, we were sleeping in the same bed. I didn't know that she was lesbian.
Yeah.
So she started touching me anyhow. And I felt like, what are you doing? You know, I felt really shame. Like, no, don't touch me, anything. And by 4 o'clock, she still, 4 o'clock in the morning, she started again. So I was like, okay, you know, I was feeling good, but I didn't want her to know that I was feeling good. Right. So I let her do everything, you know. So, and the next day, I was feeling really ashamed. So I didn't talk to her for like a week. And after she came to me and we start talking about that, and that's how we started our relationship.
Yeah. And so then after that, you kind of thought, actually, maybe I quite liked that. Maybe I like women.
Yeah, exactly. Because I kind of have to see a woman and start, oh, this girl is really nice. Not because I like her body or everything, but because I think that, oh, she's really attractive, you know. So that's how it started. And after that, we have a hiding relationship for like a month. You know, because we were going, it was the end of the college, So when I was graduate, she got graduate as well. We went out different universities. So I went outside when I was living before. So when I went there, I was in the university. We have women. I mean, like girls have their own block, like home and everything.
Yeah.
So I was sharing a home with another girls as well. And one day I heard, you know, she was talking on the phone with someone. I didn't really know. You know, the conversation was kind of suspicious, you know, like talking to a girl on the phone, like your boyfriend or like a girl. Right. I think it's a little bit different. So I didn't know how I'm going to talk to her. But we start to be friends, just like friends. We were going out. We start knowing, you know, how, you know, build
a relationship.
Yeah, we start building like a friendship first of all. Yeah. Until we know that okay, something is going on. You know,
yeah.
It's like okay, this girl, me and her, we have something in common.
Yeah.
So that's how we start a relationship as well. And she was in that city for like a long time ago, so she know really a little bit everything there. So that's how we start a relationship, and we start to see each other every time. We even move together to the same place. So after that, we have one guy who was like, he wanted to date one of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was all the time behind us. Every time we were going, we were like, you know, like he was following us. So one day I was in her house, and the window, everything was closed because you can't just be like that and start kissing someone because you know that someone could catch you. But we don't know what happened. So he came by the window and opened the door. So that's how we get caught. And he called all the neighbors and everything. They came, they started, you know, screaming at us. This is not good. This, what are you doing? They were starting, they even wanted to beat us. So that's why the police came. And, you know, police not something really that we should be part of it. But they took us to the police station. And they kept us there for like 2 days. And after, they didn't have any evidence about that because he just said that. So they released us. And after something else happened, you know, like we have a friend together, like one friend. We were always talking to her, like, oh, do you know, what do you think about homosexuality? What do you think? She was like really kind. She was like, no, I don't really mind this kind of thing. Everybody can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. What do you think if you have a friend that is like that? She was really kind. We were talking about her for like years, you know, she was really okay with that. So, but after that, we tried to tell her, like, listen, me and her, we dating together, but this was really a bad thing that happened that time because she went out, she told her family, and her family told all the people, so we get caught and everything. That was the another time that we went to jail.
When you're in prison, what was that like? What did they treat you like?
It was really bad because we stayed there for like a week, and they even raped my friend. They were swearing on us.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, this is malediction. You can't do things like that. We're going to put you in the prison. You're going to stay here all your life.
They're the people that should be, like, protecting you as well. Like, exactly. The police, they're not there to hurt you.
said, they were like, we're going to put you in the prison. This is not fair. Lucky us, my friend, like, Cameroon is a corruption country, you know. So she just gave some cash. She have a friend outside. She right. called that friend. So the friend gave some money to one of the guards. So he let us go away. And I was really lucky. That month was the month that I was doing my application to come to the UK already yeah. to study. So I was really lucky when we escaped the jail in, this was a different country. So I went back to my city. That's when I fly. But I didn't even tell my friend I was flying because I was so scared about my family is going to know this Bye. And that. And I was really, really scared. I was even crying. When I get the confirmation that I'm coming to the UK, I was like, oh my God, this is really big thing. It's coming the right time, you know? So I was really happy. So I fly to the UK. My family didn't know that I was lesbian and everything. But they pay my school fee, you know, everything. They were happy for me to come and study in the UK. So when I came to the UK, I didn't know anything about, you know, I'm not that social girl, so I didn't know anything about LGBT things like this.
So you were still trying to hide it?
Yeah, I was still trying to hide it, and I didn't know how to expose myself in the country like this, because right. this is really different culture for me. I'm yeah. coming in Africa, it's different, it's really, really different. Everything is really different. And because I really faced with police back home, I couldn't go to a policeman to say, okay, listen, I've been doing this to my country. What do you think I should do here?
Because you're scared.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I went to school. Everything was fine. Until one day when my name come on the newspaper in my country, you know? Like, oh, okay, this girl, she's a lesbian. They were referring me to, you know, kind of like gangster group in that place I was studying, Boya. So that's when one of my family friend, he saw the newspaper with my name on it. He went to give that to my mom. When my mom saw that, that's where she called me and she said, forgot about me. Even your school, I'm not going to pay anymore. Everything, I'm not going to pay. So I was really devastated. I was like, what am I going to do? And I stopped going to school because there was no one who have to pay my fee. And that's when I applied my visa expired.
Yeah.
And I have one of my friends who came and said to me, okay, You were talking. I know a little bit your story back home because it was a really good friend. You know, he's really good. He's like open mind. He doesn't care about nothing.
Yeah.
He said, okay, I don't know exactly how it's work here, but you know, I can do an application for you because of your sexuality.
Seek asylum.
No, it wasn't seek asylum. It was like human rights.
Right.
Yeah. So he did that, but unfortunately for me, I didn't have the fee to pay. So they reject my application because the fee wasn't paid.
And so what was it for, sorry?
It was the human rights based on my sexuality.
In the UK?
UK, yeah. So my application was rejected because I didn't have the fee.
And how much was the fee?
I think it was something like £600 or £400.
So it's ridiculous, a lot of money.
So I got caught with red. So I got... one day I was at home in the home office. I don't know if it's the home office or whatever. So they came to my house. They called me, and I was that day. When they took me, I was in the home. They came. I was living in Stellenbosch. They took me to Hammersmith Police Station, and I stayed there for 2 days. It was like in the jail again. So
because your visa has expired.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and because the application I did, I couldn't go further. So I was in the jail for 2 days, sleeping like, you know, prison, everything. Yeah. And I couldn't even eat for 2 days, even shower. So after 2 days, home office again, they come and they ask me a lot of questions. I was like, what am I doing? So they took me to the deportation center. I don't remember, even ITRO, something like that.
Right, okay.
So I was there for 2 days. And after, I don't know what happened, they tell me like, oh, you released.
Okay.
But inside then, one of my friends told me you should apply for asylum, you know, yeah. because it's the same thing that you did on your application and it's free.
At home, if you were caught being a lesbian at home, you're at risk of being killed, did you say?
Yeah, exactly.
So you literally can't go home because your life is on the line because of your sexuality.
Exactly. That's the thing. So when I was in the deportation, I applied for asylum.
Mm.
And after that, I was released. And that's everything. They start sending me, okay, your interview is this and this. I didn't know nothing about application asylum process. I'm in London. I'm alone. I don't have family. I'm not working. How am I going to get friends, you know? So I didn't know nothing about that. So I just write my story on my own. I write my story and everything. So the day of my interview, I went there with everything.
Yeah.
They asked me for more than 200 questions, you know? Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Asking me about this, I need to give this day, I need to be like, exactly give the date, I need to talk about everything, all the experience and everything. So this is what I did, and after that I wait for 2.5 years to get the decision.
And so you told them, you were like, I need to live here because it's not safe for me to go back home because of my sexuality, and you gave them evidence, etc., and then they just said, you have to wait.
After 2.5 years they sent me, this was in January 2018.
Yeah.
They sent me a letter to say, oh, we don't believe that you're gay. We don't believe that you cannot go back to your country. Mm-hmm. We think you're lying and everything like that. Yeah.
And in the time between you applying and now, how have you lived? How have you had money? Because you're not allowed to work, are you, until that application goes through?
No, I'm not. So I have one of my friends who is, I was going to the church before when mm-hmm. I was leaving. So he... When I told him about my experience, he's really old, he's like 17 years old man. So, he told me, oh, listen, I have a flat, you can come and take care of me, you know? Yeah.
That's so kind.
Yeah, exactly. So I went there and I started living with him. And he's an old man, I take care of him. And when we have food, we eat. When we don't have, we can just stay like that. But it's really helpful.
For me, I find this so interesting because I'm not religious at all. And I think that sometimes religion, especially for you guys in terms of your sexuality, that's what's caused a lot of the problems. But at the same time, religion is clearly a massive community saves you in so many ways.
Yeah.
Like this man that's helping you out, that's really unusual. I don't know many people that would just take someone in.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see... That, but so now your situation is you're still just waiting to find out, and they won't believe, and you've given evidence as to why your sexuality is and how many people are in your position, do you think? How many women are in the UK or in Cameroon trying to get out and trying to...
I think there's a lot of people, because even the community I am now, there's a lot of people that, you know, they've been in this situation for but they can't come out because sometimes you can't just speak. Some people are really ashamed to speak, you know, so it's really difficult. You need to find a way to talk, you know, when it's like...
Really and in your community that you have, are you guys part of the same community in London?
Can you
be openly lesbian in that community?
Yeah,
you can.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
But going forward, what do you wish could... I mean, obviously, you said now that your, relationship with your mum is broken down, but you feel hopeful, don't you? You were saying before that you
I feel really hopeful that things are going to change and she's going to forgive me and she's going to understand that, you know?
You don't need to be forgiven. You haven't done anything wrong.
I mean, because I love my mum, you know? Staying without talking with her is just something that I can't believe I could do, you know? So it's really difficult.
Yeah, but you don't need to be forgiven because you haven't, nothing wrong, there's nothing
because
wrong.
Because I think that, one day maybe she's going to say, I understand, something like that,
it's just baffling for me to hear because it's obviously I've lived such a privileged life where even if my parents maybe didn't understand if I was gay, that would just kind of be the end of it and they'd probably get over it, but the fact that you guys have to go through the turmoil of your country and your home just being no, you can't exist here. You can't be here. But then the other problem is when you get here, you still got the problems that you're going through.
Yeah.
And sorry, I'm going to come. Doris, do you have, are you able to live here easily? Is your so have you got the same problem with asylum where you live here fine?
I would say for now, to be honest with you, the way I'm living my life, I live very openly.
But do you have like
at home, I would say, because I have my uncle, that one is in the military. He threatened me like years ago, like since he found out that I'm a lesbian. He said he doesn't, so
you can't fully come out. Yeah,
no, I'm out already, so now, you know what, it doesn't really matter to me. Mm-hmm. Now he knows that I'm a lesbian, so to me, to be honest with you, the only thing is that if I go home, I won't be able to live openly.
Right.
So that would be like taking my, I don't know, I can't live in the hide. I can't hide my identity anymore. I've gone so far that I want to really inspire people. I want to be a role model to other people.
Yeah.
So I can't be hiding.
And you should be role models, but what we need is more people to understand that, like, how awful it is back home for you guys that you can't. So we need to be more accepting of refugees. And, like, women like you are just a woman like me. We're all the same.
Yeah.
And you should be, have just as much entitlement to live here, regardless of where you're from, your sexuality, or any other factors. And I just think that's something we need to kind of try to drum home.
Absolutely. But the thing about back home is that it's very difficult because they work according to the law. Yeah, it's being ruled by the... It's a country that's been governed by the law. So it's like, since it's illegal, there is nothing. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. And it's so bad because just mere suspicion of somebody being a lesbian or gay, you just get arrested.
But it's because everyone's scared. It's a bit like probably your friend that told on you. She's scared for herself.
Yeah, so it's like, now, if I go home, the truth is that I can't live openly, which is something I don't want to. If I can, I live openly in the UK, so why do you want me to go somewhere that I'll be hiding?
Yeah.
I can't hide my sexuality. No. That's indirectly taking my life away.
100%, it's part of you.
It's me. It's me. I don't mind. It's just me. If you tell me to go and hide somewhere, it's like, you don't want me to leave. It's best to kill me.
Yeah.
Rather than me hiding. Awful. Why should I hide?
You shouldn't live like
Absolutely.
That.
So it's something that I really wish there'll be a time. The time will come when the country, they will come to accept all LGBT people for who they are, not being like they are like outcasts or they are criminals or they are, they need to accept them like human beings as well. I just hope for that time to come.
Like, do you know what's interesting? You just said that and it's just made me think that you're saying your country doesn't accept LGBTQ people and it's not human, but that's exactly what the UK is doing with refugees, because we're saying like, you're not legal, like they've said to you, Valerie, that like, you're not legally meant to be here, and they're saying to you that you're other. And we need to see that if we're sitting here on our high horse going, oh, it's fine to be LGBTQ plus and we're so open with that, then we need to readdress the way that we look at refugees and people who are in crisis areas and let you in, because you can't have one and not the other. And it comes into feminism and any kind of thing like that, is you have to accept everyone as equal. So we're just as bad, and in some ways, because we're being just as alienating, we might accept your sexuality, but you're still not fully being registered as a human.
Absolutely.
Here, which
that's
is really
the thing. That's the thing. Most people find it hard to go to the Home Office because of exactly what you're saying. It's like you get to a point where you have to go to the Home Office and explain. You know already they're going to ask you questions about your sexuality. That's the most difficult thing for you to, you know, to, for a human being to go through. It's just that it's lucky enough they don't really ask intimate questions anymore. But I know before they used to ask really intimate questions, which is really interesting. There are certain things that you don't need to ask somebody. No. At times you feel like...
Not relevant.
It's not relevant. You can't ask somebody what you... You can't be asking such questions, to be honest to me. You're asking for pictures. I don't know. So certain things are not... But now, I know one day, the way things are going, gradually, they'll come to a point where they'll... They too, the law will change where they'll have to just accept LGBT people for who they are too, being from other countries as well. I know, being from here is different from us being from back home. We have to go through all of that. But I just hope one day the government will tend to understand that. That's it. For somebody to talk about their story, especially about our sexuality, is really hard. You just, especially when you've not been through counseling. I have this courage to talk today because I've been through counseling. Those who've not gone through any sort of counseling, it's really tough for you to stand openly, especially when you're from Africa. It's so hard. You can't. People have been through sexual assault. They've been through a lot. They've been to prison. Like, what should you say? You can't explain all those torture people have gone through. So it's really hard for somebody to explain that. Then you don't believe the person. Then they tend to start bringing evidences. You need evidence to prove. It's just like your life. And it's like you keep going round and round and they refuse. You have to go through it again. It's like Now, just for them to believe that you are a lesbian or a gay,
yeah.
Can you imagine what
but
people
you
go through?
Women are so strong because the things you've been through, and you're so smiley and sweet and wonderful, and you're happy to come and talk to me, and you're just the loveliest people. And it just breaks my heart that you've been through so much, and you're still sat here feeling like you have to explain yourself, and that's just so unfair. Mm.
It's because I belong to a community that's always fought for me, to be honest. Mm. They made me to realize that no matter what, they have my backing.
Yeah.
That's what we all need. You need to be somewhere that you feel like you have a family. Yeah. I know I have a family. Mm-hmm. I have people behind me no matter what. Even if the Home Office does not want to accept me, my community, they've accepted me. And that's what makes me happy. That's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
Help Philly has accepted me. So... So it's like, my church accepted me for who I am. I'm in a community that I love them so much. So it's not about the Home Office. I know they might ask all those questions. They have every right. They might ask, but the truth is that it's where I belong. I'm so happy that I'm there today. Yeah.
But that's amazing. I think people could learn so much from
that.
Even just saying
thing.
I'm happy.
It's just like, you go, like pride, when you go out there.
Yeah.
It's not just me. You see people happy celebrating. Mm. You're a family.
Yeah.
We are together. It shows that sense of togetherness.
Yeah.
Those are the things that we didn't have back home.
Yeah.
So when you come here, you see such things. You feel like, you know what? You belong to a community. We are together. And we'll continue to fight together until the day. It's really difficult. Being an LGBT person, it's not just us. Even those who are born here, they still go through tough times too.
Yeah.
They do. Especially in the community.
Yeah.
They do go through tough times. So I want to say, yeah, I know we go through that. I know other people, those who are born here too, they go through tough times too.
Yeah.
Especially coming out is a stage that is tough to everybody. Some families are more accepting than others don't. I have friends, their families don't want to have anything to do with them. But
yeah.
They were born here as well. It's like, it's something that we all go through.
Yeah.
We all have a journey. But we just hope that one day our families will come to terms with us.
Yeah.
And we accept also who we are. But for them to accept us, we have to accept ourselves.
Yeah, that's
if you true. Don't accept yourself, you don't expect other people to accept you. If you're not proud of yourself, you don't expect other people to be proud of you. It's about you. If you're ashamed of yourself, others will be ashamed of you too. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
So you just need to accept you for who you are. Be proud of yourself. So I believe my sister will come. I know she will come to them because now she has seen me on TV, so she has nothing to say. So that's just it. So when she keeps seeing all of that, I just believe one day she'll go like, you know what?
I'm over it.
Yeah. I've had enough. So that's it.
Yeah.
She's just herself. So that's it. So they have to get to that point, that break-even point. You know what? Take it. Let me either take her for who she is now or not. That's it. So it's a journey. So yeah.
It's amazing.
So amazing to speak to those two lovely ladies. We just played musical chairs. They've just moved around the table now.
Mm-hmm.
But Philly, you work for Help Refugees.
Mm-hmm.
So you're often closely working with people who have been through similar situations.
Mm-hmm.
How can we, as a people in general, help? Or what can we do?
Well, I think the important statistic, to put a statistic on these true stories is that between 2015 and 2017, 3/4 of asylum claims on the basis of sexuality were rejected in the UK. So people in the same situation as Valerie. And it's normal to be outraged by that and to feel like you want to do something. And over the last 3 years since we started Help Refugees, we've been amazed to learn as we go that actually writing to your MP and telling them that this is something that matters to you is something which does work.
Amazing.
And if enough people, if we are having the conversations, if we're talking even just with friends, with family, having conversations, sharing things on Facebook, reading articles, and also writing to your MP. You can find your MP's details on Write to Them. If you Google Write to Them, and you can tell them that you want to see the UK doing more about accepting LGBT refugees and asylum seekers, quote the 3/4 of people were rejected on people replying on that basis were rejected between 2015 and 2017, and say that you as a human being and as a British citizen, you're not happy with that.
And that's me, because everyone can do that. So that's a really great thing to do, because I never want to, sometimes it's hard, you know, when people say like give money or not everyone is able to do that, but all of us can write to our MP. So that's such a good thing to know.
Yeah, I think it's really important, and follow, you know, again, if you follow Say It Loud Club on Facebook, you can follow us, and we will always be, we always find it really important to be providing really tangible ways of helping. Yeah. I think in the past, charities have been sometimes untransparent about like what they're doing, who they're helping. We like want to share the stories of the amazing people that we work with, like these two ladies here, and we want to say, we try to be really, really clear about this is what we're doing with your money, this is what you can do if you don't have money but you have some time. Please write to your MP constantly, because it's their job and it's in their best interest to do what their constituents want.
Yeah.
So there's all, we try to make it like there are lots of different ways. You can, you know, 20 quid is one of the Rainbow Choose Love t-shirts. Yeah. And when you buy one of those t-shirts on ASOS, that money will go to supporting groups like Say It Loud in different countries where we work. We're working in 10 countries. So there's loads of different things you can do, and it doesn't have to seem really overwhelming. And I think it can do and has historically felt scary, like knowing where to start, engaging with a cause, or even picking something. But I think the important thing is just like just start. Just, you know, Google Say It Loud Club, sign up to Help Refugees newsletter, whatever it is, do something, and then your kind of journey begins.
Definitely. I do think just even just kind of looking into it a bit more and just learning and being open-minded. I'm going to link everything below with regards to Help Refugees, Say It Loud, the t-shirts, and any other websites that you guys think might be helpful for people to know about. But I've absolutely loved hanging from you. It's been quite an emotional time, but unbelievable, and I'm really grateful for you ladies for coming and doing
Thank
it with
you
me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks so much for listening, guys, and I will see you next week. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.